The Adventures of Sherlock Holmes. With Sir John Gielgud in the title role of Sherlock Holmes, and with Sir Ralph Richardson as our storyteller, Dr. James Watson.
Sometimes, as our friendship grew, Sherlock Holmes used to ask me to make certain investigations on his behalf. There was, I recall, the odd business of Miss Violet Smith, the charming bicyclist of Charlington. We first heard of her strange experience when she called on us one April day at Baker Street.
Ah, Miss Violet Smith, I presume. Do come in. I had your note just a moment ago saying you'd call.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Holmes. This is your equally celebrated colleague, Dr. Watson, perhaps.
Oh, you flatter me, Miss Smith. Pray be seated. Could I offer you a little refreshment, a little ginger wine, perhaps? Some Madeira?
No, thank you, Doctor. You are very kind.
I fancy the problem is hardly in your line, Watson. So ardent a bicyclist as this lady has surely every likelihood of enjoying good health.
Well, Mr. Holmes, I've heard of your famous methods, of course, but how did you know that I...
We knew it from the roughening on the edge of your boot, Miss Smith, from the pedals.
Upon my soul, Watson, you'll be telling me next that you also knew Miss Smith was a pianist.
I'd thought a typewritist, Holmes. Oh. Do forgive me, Miss Smith. You mean from the fingertips, Holmes?
Yes, but there's a certain spirituality in your face, Miss Smith, which the typewriter would hardly inspire.
Well, gentlemen, you really are most intriguing, both of you. You see, I do teach music.
And in the country, I presume, from your charming complexion.
Yes, Mr. Holmes, near Farnham.
Oh, yes, that's a beautiful neighborhood, Miss Smith, full of the most delightful things, one of the most delightful parts of the world.
Quite delightful. The place where we took Archie Stamford, the forger, wasn't it, Watson?
Oh, really, gentlemen, you fascinate me so much, I almost forget what I came for.
Ah, pray forgive us, Miss Smith. It's only our way. Now, regarding your note, is this matter serious?
Well, I hardly know, Mr. Holmes. It is certainly very strange.
Then we are all attention. Don't fidget, Watson. Compose yourself.
I'm entirely composed, Holmes. Pray proceed, Miss Smith.
Thank you. Well, you see, gentlemen, when my father died about 2 years ago, Mother and I were left very poor, so you can imagine how excited we were when we saw an advertisement in the papers one day asking for our whereabouts and saying that if we went to a certain solicitor, we would hear something to our advantage.
Indeed. And you did go.
Oh, yes. I went myself to the solicitor. Mother wasn't very well that day. Uh-huh. And there were two gentlemen there, a Mr. Carruthers, who was a clean-shaven man, and a Mr. Woodley, who'd a red moustache, and it seemed that they were both home on a visit from Australia. I didn't care for Mr. Woodley, but Mr. Carruthers was really quite nice. Of course, it was all a great mystery to me until Mr. Carruthers explained.
Well, it's like this, you see, Miss Smith. You knew, I take it, that your late father had a brother, Ralph.
Yes, Mr. Carruthers. But he went to Australia 25 years ago. I never met him.
Ah, poor old Ralph. I'll bet he'd have enjoyed having a pretty niece like you, Miss Smith.
Woodley, please. Oh, leave it to me.
Sure, sure, Bob. I wouldn't interfere for the world.
Now, Miss Smith, your Uncle Ralph was a great friend of ours. I regret to say that he died just a few months ago.
Oh, dear. I'm sorry, Mr. Carruthers.
I'm afraid it ain't what you think, my dear. Old Ralph didn't make no fortune to leave to you.
I had no such thoughts at all, Mr. Woodley.
Ah. One in the eye for me, eh? All right, Bob, carry on.
Well, it's true, Miss Smith, as Mr. Woodley says, your uncle died a poor man. When he heard of your father's death, he begged us, because we'd been such close friends of his, to come to England and hunt you up, to see that you and your mother shouldn't be in any want as his only living relatives.
That was very kind of him, Mr. Carruthers.
Now, I'm a widower, Miss Smith, and I've a little girl of 10. Yeah. I've taken a house called Chiltern Grange near Farnham while I'm in England. How would you like a job as governess and music teacher?
Well,
I could offer £100 a year.
£100? But that's splendid pay, Mr. Carruthers.
Well, it's for poor old Ralph's sake. But I'm sure that you'll be worth it, Miss Smith.
You bet she would. Well, what do you say, Miss Smith? Do you take the job? I reckon that you couldn't do much better.
So I thought it over, Mr. Holmes, and I took the job.
And all went well, Miss Smith?
Oh, at first, wonderfully, Dr. Watson. Mr. Carruthers was very nice, and the little girl was a dear. We used to have some charming musical evenings together.
Ah, yes, I'm sure you did, Miss Smith.
Do sit down, Watson. Then why have you come to consult us, Miss Smith?
Well, to begin with, there was Mr. Woodley. He came to Farnham on a visit, and he was quite dreadful. He tried to make love to me. I simply hated him.
Did Mr. Carruthers know?
Oh, yes. Mr. Woodley even proposed to me one day. He said that if I married him, I could have the finest diamonds in London. Imagine. And when I refused, he seized me in his arms. He was very strong.
A scoundrel.
And when I called for help, Mr. Carruthers came in and there was a fight. Oh, it was terrible, Dr. Watson. Huh.
Well, at least, it was the end of Woodley's visits, I suppose.
Oh, yes. Mr. Carruthers was most upset. He sent Mr. Woodley away, and I haven't seen him since.
I should think not, indeed.
Do calm yourself, my dear Watson. Now, my dear Miss Smith, pray continue.
It is all so strange, you see. It's the cyclist.
The cyclist?
Yes. When I went to Chiltern Grange, Mr. Carruthers said I could spend every weekend in London to see my mother. So every Saturday forenoon, I cycle into Farnham to get the 12:22. It's a very lonely road over Charlington Heath, you know.
Oh, yes, yes. I seem to remember it. Mainly woods, if I recollect.
Yes, on one side. And then there's one old house on the other, Charlington Hall. But that's the only one for miles and miles. Hardly ever meet anything, not so much as a cart. But one day...
Yes, Miss Smith?
Well, I happened to look back over my shoulder, Dr. Watson, and about 200 yards behind me, I saw a man also on a bicycle.
What did he look like?
Well, middle-aged, I'd say, and with a dark beard. I looked back again before I reached Farnham, but he'd gone by then, and I didn't think any more about it. But except that...
Except?
When I came back on Monday, I saw him again. On the same stretch of road, and then again the next Saturday, and the next Monday, too.
Aha.
Yes, the case certainly begins to present some features of interest, Watson, don't you think so?
Did he molest you in any way, Miss Smith?
No. He kept his exact distance, about 200 yards, I'd say, just at the point where the road passes Charlington Hall.
Who lives there, by the way? Do you happen to know, Miss Smith?
I'm afraid I don't.
Uh-huh.
You mentioned the matter to Mr. Carruthers, of course.
Oh, yes. And he seemed most interested. He said that he'd order a pony cart and groom so that in future I shouldn't have to pass over those lonely roads without some companion.
And you're sure you didn't know this man on the bicycle?
Well, no, Dr. Watson. He was always just a little too far away for me to see him clearly, but I'm certain it wasn't anyone I knew. And then this very morning, I thought I'd set a trap for him. The pony cart was to have come this week, but it didn't arrive in time, so I had to cycle again. And there he was, as usual, following me. So I slowed down, and he slowed down, and I stopped altogether.
And he stopped.
Brilliant, my dear Watson.
And then I pedaled on again and laid my trap. There's a little side road through the woods at one point, so I turned into it very quickly. He couldn't have seen me because there's a bend in the road just there. I expected him to shoot past me so that I could have a closer glimpse of him.
But he didn't.
No, Mr. Holmes, he didn't. And when I came out again and looked back, there wasn't a sign of him across the whole heath.
Well, the matter has certainly some unique features. Don't you think so, Watson?
It's certainly somewhat singular, Holmes. I take it, Miss Smith, that you've no, secret admirers, perhaps?
Well, hardly secret, Dr. Watson. There's Cyril.
Cyril?
Cyril Watson, of course.
Oh, of course. Yes, I knew there must be someone, Miss Smith. A most attractive lady, if I may say so.
Cyril Morton, Mr. Holmes. He is an electrical engineer at Coventry. We expect to be married at the end of the summer.
It couldn't have been him that was paying you any kind of surprise visit.
Oh, Mr. Holmes, as if I shouldn't recognize him.
Well, can't you think of anyone else it might have been, Miss Smith? Some other admirer, perhaps?
Well, this dreadful man, Woodley, if you can call him an admirer. And...
Well?
Well, perhaps it's only a fancy, Mr. Holmes. But it sometimes seems that Mr. Carruthers takes a, well, an interest in me. We are rather thrown together, you see. I play his accompaniments in the evenings. He sings quite well.
He's never actually said anything.
Oh, no, Doctor. He's a perfect gentleman. It's just that a girl always knows.
Does she? I mean, yes, of course.
Yeah. Quite, Watson, quite. Well, Miss Smith, your case certainly provides several points of interest. I shall be most pleased to look into it.
Thank you.
So I am sure Well, Dr. Watson.
Yes, yes, indeed, indeed.
Take no further steps without letting us know. Keep in touch, Miss Smith. Meanwhile, spend your usual weekend with your mother and return on Monday to Farnham, and we shall do our best to help you.
Thank you, Mr. Holmes. Thank you both, gentlemen. You've been very kind and patient.
Oh, not at all, not at all. Oh, permit me, Miss Smith, your glove. Oh,
thank you, Dr. Watson. Then I will say goodbye, Mr. Holmes, and I will let you know if anything further happens.
Yes, pray do. Good day, Miss Smith.
Good day, good day, good day, my dear. Well, Holmes,
well, indeed, my dear Philip.
Well, it's part of the settled order of nature, I suppose, that such a girl should have admirers, Holmes, but not following her on bicycles on lonely country roads.
Yes, there are certainly some curious and suggestive details about the case. I think our first effort should be directed towards the tenants of this Charlington Hall, the house that the girl was passing when that strange cyclist disappeared.
Yes, but how do you account for the odd acquaintanceship between Carruthers and Woodley? Such very different types and manners.
You forestall me, Watson. As so often in this case, I suppose it must be the feminine interest in it.
Come, come, Holmes, now.
Last and most important point, what kind of a menage is it that pays double the market price for a governess and yet doesn't keep a horse and carriage, although this house, Chiltern Grange, is several miles away from the station? Odd. Very odd.
So you'll go down there?
No, my dear fellow, you will.
I will?
Well, you know quite well I'm busily engaged with my new violin sonata. It may be only some trifling intrigue after all. This case is just in your line, Watson. I leave it all to you. Die ewige Frau, as Goethe so aptly says.
I don't know what that means, Holmes.
Just pass me my violin, will you please, my dear fellow? I always forget you have no German. I've been looking for a title for this new composition of mine. I think I may have found it at last. Rêve d'amour. French, Watson.
Seldom encountered one more charming than Miss Violet Smith, and earnestly wished to do my best to help her. Accordingly, I made my way down to Charlington Heath on the following Monday and concealed myself behind a clump of gorse. In the distance, I saw Miss Smith gracefully speeding along the road from Farnham Station, and a moment later, the black-bearded pursuer had emerged from a gap in the hedge some 100 yards away from me, and went cycling after her, looking curiously furtive.